Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Fan Experience TV. We're on episode 71, and it is also opening day for Major League Baseball. Unfortunately, my Mets did not get to play today, but let me introduce myself. My name is Mike Gatos. I am your host. Alongside me is Rick Molina. Rick's my co-host. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well. It's opening day, and the Mets can't start a season. But I digress.
Yankees, they did not lose on opening day.
Unlike my beloved Yankees, who scored two runs and then gave up a double in the 10th and ended that sort of celebration. But it's opening day, and people are out. The start of baseball, spring is in the air, and your team can't play, and my team can't win. Good evening there, Michael. How are you?
Well, my team didn't play, but they got a big win. late last night.
That's
and
right.
And they locked up Francisco Lindor for the next 11 years. He's going to finish off his current contract this year, mm-hmm. and they got him for 10 more years at $341 million. Guy hasn't even played a regular season game in a Mets uniform.
And he got paid all right.
He got paid not quite Matt Patrick Mahomes money, but a pretty hefty sum of money. Yeah. And setting that market high for all those shortstops that are going to be hitting the market next year. But it just shows you that it's a different era of Mets baseball ahead of us. And that is what I'm most excited about. Steve Cohen can, do his little rants on Twitter and whatever. And some of them are a little over the top, but he's all worth billions of dollars, so I don't really care. He put his money where his mouth was, and he didn't really cow down to the 12-year offer that Lindor was looking for, and they met in the middle, and everyone was happy at the end of the day. And it's great to see, and it's great to see them not shying away from spending some real money to build a championship team. And Alex Rodriguez, a couple days ago, said, you got 29 teams bleeding from a pandemic. And one team with a billionaire owner with one goal in mind is to win a championship and do anything that he can to do that. So thank you, A-Rod, for losing and then providing us with this great, great insight. But I'm excited for that. I obviously wished that the Mets would have played. I'm already ready for it. I got my DeGrom jersey on. I got the Mets hat on. I'm ready to go and listen to those announcers on ESPN. Unfortunately, I would have done it. Just for Mets baseball, but good day all around. You got Miguel Cabrera hitting number 488 today in the snow over there in Detroit. A lot of good games. Like you mentioned, your Yankees could not seal the deal. Gerrit Cole pitched well, and they pulled him in the sixth, going up to almost about 100 pitches there. But all in all, baseball is back. And we have a long season ahead of us, and it's great that it's finally here. I mean, it's just, I don't know about you, but me personally, this is the start of the year for me, and the start of just sports. Like, this is the unofficial start of spring and summer and all of that. So I love this day.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with you. I love opening day because it's the start of spring, warmer weather outside more. Start of barbecues and tailgates and just getting out of the house after a long and cold winter. Hope for our teams, right? The Yankees with their lineup and their pitching acquisitions and seeing if they can win a World Series after they haven't won one since 2009. The Mets with a new owner and just signed Lindor, a contract that they needed to get done and both sides needed to complete. Lindor, if he wouldn't have taken a 10-year, 300 or whatever it was, $340 million contract, he would have been a pariah to Met fans, and I don't think he wanted to start that way. I was reading here in an article on ESPN that he felt comfortable with the Mets. They're committed to winning, and they got an owner who wants to win. I mean, you don't become a hedge fund billionaire by just being a nice guy. You're ruthless. You do whatever it takes, and you want to win.
Yeah.
So good for them. And around the league, you got games out there, and everybody's playing. It's just a sign of things to come as the country gets better and the world is getting better. It's great to see out there. So it's exciting, man. It was a good day. And hopefully the Mets and the Nationals get their COVID situation straightened out and get out there and able to play some baseball. But that's good. It's all around. It was a great day.
Yeah. So it was three Nationals tested positive. and there's one very close. And then the Mets have no positive cases.
Yeah.
They called the game early enough where the Mets didn't even make it to National Ballpark yet. So they're free and clear of anything that was, if anything, was rolling around in the stadium there. But you mentioned COVID and everything, and I don't know. We have to at least mention it. But the Texas Rangers won 100% of fans to attend opening day, and yeah. I really don't think it's a good idea, and it's just for opening day, and then they're going to bring it down to 50%. So it's, what is the point? What is the point? You have 81 games that are going to be played in that ballpark. I understand that you have a nice brand spanking new stadium. You want people to attend it, but you can't be irresponsible, and it could be detrimental to the entire league.
Look, I mean, I think
there's just no going back on it now. But
no, I think it's just insanity, man. I mean, look, you still got cases on the rise. You still got this disease out there. And yes, things are getting better and people are getting vaccinated. You're going to have masks out there. But why take a chance on a super spreader event? The last thing somebody needs is to get sick in that building and die, right? And with this disease, you still don't know. Like, you just don't know. And people are reckless. They have a couple of beers. They want to wear a mask for 9 innings. You know, baseball's long, man. You're out there for 3 hours, man. You got to wear a mask for 3 hours.
Yeah.
And you're right. So if I'm a player, man, I'm like, look, I ain't playing here. This is unsafe. I'm not playing out there. I wouldn't have played, but the Rangers, they just, who knows, man? They just want to be the outliers. And you and I spoke about this earlier. We don't know if the Astros are going to do that. I mean, I haven't heard any with the Houstons. I don't think they're going to do it, but I mean, it's just completely just reckless. But it's, look, some people are going to do what they want to do, and others are going to follow the guidelines and just have to wait and see.
Yeah, well, both the Rangers and the Astros both started away today. We'll see, and let's see if they change their minds on that.
But as I'm watching the Yankee highlights.
Something tells me that they won't.
Yeah.
Is there one? Gary Sanchez home run.
Gerrit Cole giving up a homer in the sixth.
Is that a highlight?
Yeah,
is that a highlight?
And no, the highlight is him going into the dugout, taking his glove, and just smashing it out everywhere.
Yeah. Oh man.
And well, then bases loaded with Judge up, and he doesn't do anything.
Yeah. He apologized to everybody, but it's a long season. It's not how you start. It's how you
blow it up. That's it. Blow it up. Start trading people. Fire Boone. Blow it up. I'm done with them.
Yeah. All right. Well, we will segue off this for a second because we want to introduce our next guest. Joining us now, he was a pitcher in the Royals and the Brewers organization, and now he is an investment advisor. We are happy to welcome Jonathan Perrin to the program.
Hey, Jonathan. What's going on, guys? Thanks for having me on the show. Super excited to be here.
Thank you for coming on. It's a pleasure, and congratulations to your Royals on beating the aforementioned Texas Rangers that we nicely roasted for their 100% capacity ruling.
Yeah,
you want to add anything there, or
I was just gonna say it looked like a football game. It took us 200 some odd pitches to get through that one. You want to talk about long, but it was a good one. Good to get a win in the first game. But yeah, with the 100% capacity, I mean, if you're not gonna do it the whole season, why just do it for one game, especially first game of the season when, given the circumstances, you already got two teams having problems with positive tests on the very first day. You know, why? I don't know why you'd want to run that risk, but it's Texas. They do what they want.
Everything's bigger in Texas. Yeah. Even the capacities. Who's the other team that had a COVID issue?
Well, just the Nationals and the Mets didn't have any.
Yeah, didn't play.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So it's just the Nationals. But yeah, the Mets were free and clear. They didn't even come to the ballpark, I would assume.
Right. With this virus, it doesn't just affect you. Yeah, you have two teams that end up not being able to play. It affects rotations, the whole thing that goes along with canceling a ball game.
Yeah. No, it absolutely. And safety is number one priority, especially if you're going to want to get through a 162 game season. There's not much. I mean, look at what happened last year. Like, they were rescheduling games and double dipping, triple dipping every which way they could possibly do it. And you're not going to have much leeway when it comes to 162 games.
Yes, it's a totally different animal when you're only playing 60. You can get away with playing multiple doubleheaders. When you're on game 120 of the season, the third doubleheader of the month in August. That's
a different. No. Yeah, I would say it's pretty challenging. So tell us a little bit about you just growing up and where you developed your love for sports. What teams were the first ones that you really fell in love with? And walk us through all of that.
Yeah, so sports have always been a part of my life. My dad was actually a professional fighter, so it came from that background. And then just sports, football, basketball, baseball, from the time I could shoot hoops on a little Tykes hoop in the basement. So sports have always been a part of my life. And I was born in 93, so right when I was like coherent enough to start following baseball, that was right when the Yankees dynasty was going on. I'm almost a little ashamed to admit it now, but I was definitely a pretty hardcore Yankees fan growing up just because they were so good, and I was that fair weather kid. I was like, they're the best. They got Jeter. They got Rivera. I'm a Yankees fan. And then obviously growing up in Kansas City, being a Royals fan, going to Kauffman during the summers, getting they always had Buck Night. It was Dodge Buck Night, and you could get a burp, you could get a hot dog or a soda for $1 at we would go get the cheap seats and get that because you can't find a dollar soda at a ballpark anymore, that's for sure.
No, definitely not. And those cheap seats are where it's at.
It was the Hy-Vee cheap seats. They were like $8 at the time. You sit by the waterfall out there and at Kauffman. It was awesome.
Yeah, I want to go. I want to go there. It is a beautiful ballpark. So, you know, that's definitely on my bucket list to make it out there.
Yeah, you'll enjoy it. The atmosphere, the scoreboard's cool. The waterfalls, like I said, the fountains out there are just immaculate. And, of course, the people of Kansas City are wonderful out here. You'll get that Midwestern hospitality coming out here.
Yeah, I'm still a little bit sour about what happened. Actually, I think I'm wearing the World Series hat right now, too. But that didn't play out as we had hoped. But, you know, we'll get them soon with the Lindor stuff. And it's just a brand new era in Mets baseball. As long as they could play a game, that'd be nice.
Mr. Cohen is definitely trying to spin his way to a title. I think he might have the Yankee blueprint figured out a little bit. He's going to turn it out and go on the other side of town and do it for himself.
No, for sure. Rick, you can take that.
Yeah. I'm interested in knowing, Jonathan, when did you, as a young guy, you're playing sports, when did you know you say, hey, I'm pretty gifted. I'm pretty good at this. Like, when did you know that baseball was the way you were going to go sports-wise?
Honestly, my first love was basketball. So okay. For me, I was just all about basketball up until about age 12. And then I was playing AAU, that 12, 13 age bracket, like just getting into middle school, and I started running into kids that were like 6'7" already. I got dunked on in a seventh grade AAU game, and I was like, okay, that was not for me. I might go focus on baseball. So I was always pretty solid at baseball, and then once I hit my freshman year of high school, I just committed to it full time. And then my sophomore summer, I threw a couple perfect games in summer ball, and wow. After that, I was like, okay, I think there might be something here. Like, I might be a little bit better than most average people at this. And I just committed it to it from there. And just, I knew I had a chance to do something pretty special with it.
That's an incredible story. And then you went to Oklahoma State. And did you play college baseball there at Oklahoma State?
Yes, I sure did. Go Pokes. Got it on. We celebrate. My head coach in college, Josh Holliday, just got his 300th win against Oklahoma the other night. So go Pokes. Congrats to Coach Holliday out there on number 300. I got to be a part of number one. Now he's all the way to 300. So Josh, you're getting old, but congratulations.
That's incredible. That's awesome.
That is. That is amazing. So yeah, talk to us about you. Your mother went to the same place as well, right?
Yeah. So my mom went to the same university. She was there. She was a pledge, Gamma Phi Beta sorority, back class of 1980. I don't know if she's going to yell at me for saying that. G5, class of 80, she's on the wall still at the house. That was super cool because homecoming for Oklahoma State, all the fraternities and sororities, they pair up and they make these giant, they call them pomps, where it's chicken wire on and it's welded to these metal pipes. And they're like these 40-foot tall structures. They've got moving parts and they're filled with chicken wire and tissue paper, like colored tissue paper, and they make these huge murals, and it takes months to put together. So she used to do that for her sorority back in school, and it's a huge celebration for the homecoming parade. So getting to go back every year and go to her sorority house and and see that and do that whole thing with her was super special. And then just having her, you know, at her alma mater for home baseball games, getting to watch her son pitch, like that was just a super cool experience for us to get to bond through that. And I'm a diehard OSU fan, always will be now. And that was just another awesome experience for me that was unique to my story for my family.
Yeah, no, that is an amazing story. And that bond is something that not a lot of people can share in. But it's nice to hear. And you said here that one of your most exciting fan experiences were as a player, but you beat Oklahoma University and to clinch the Big 12. So talk to us. Did you pitch in that game or were you just because of the game in general?
I had pitched the night before, so I pitched on Friday, and we beat them on Friday to go ahead, and we were one game away. And then my roommate at the time, Tyler Buffett, was pitching the next night. So we played Friday night, was in Oklahoma City at the Bricktown Ballpark, AAA ballpark for the Dodgers. And then the next night, we went over to the AA ballpark, and we played Tulsa. We drive across the state, now we're playing in Tulsa, like 15,000 people, sellout crowd, crazy for a college baseball game. We ended up winning that game and just everybody was going crazy. That was our first Big 12 title in 18 years or something crazy like wow. that. It was a big deal. And I just remember people were like crying and hugging each other. And like girlfriends were on the field and moms were on the field. Like it was just pandemonium. And the best part was it was against OU, and guys in the paper before the series from Oklahoma were talking about how we want to ruin their title hopes. Like we want to take it away from them, and just to do it in front of them was just that much better.
The little trash talking. It's all good. Now, during this time, Jonathan, as you're pitching, as you progress through college, are you already being approached by professional scouts about, hey, maybe going up to the big leagues during this point?
Sorry, can you repeat the question?
No, but yeah, so as you're going through your career, I mean, at this point, freshman, sophomore year, are you starting to be approached by professional scouts saying, hey, we like your stuff. Maybe there might be a future for you in professional baseball.
Yeah, so that process really started probably junior year of high school where
wow.
on the showcase circuit, I started working out with the Royals scout team and stuff. My senior, like at the end of my junior summer, going into my senior fall, myself, yeah. you know, and my good buddy John Means, who was supposed to get to start for the Orioles tonight, but they got rained out against the Sox, so he'll go tomorrow. But we were both on that team all of our senior year, so that was like the first real introduction to like being. We played at Kauffman once a week. It was around professional scouts and professional coaches, so that really started for me like that junior summer going into senior year of high school. And then it backed off freshman year of college. There's really nothing anybody could do. I wasn't eligible for the draft. And then again, once that process started ramping back up, end of my sophomore year, I started pitching quite more, a lot more for the team. And then going into that summer ball season after my sophomore year, into my junior fall, that's when scouts started calling. You started having the meetings after practices. We'd have designated days where scouts right. could come in and talk to us. So, you know, it was a little tricky. It's a cool experience, right, to feel that, you know, get those questionnaires in the mail. You see a letter in your inbox from whatever stamp of whatever team it was. You get excited as a, yeah. you know, 18, 19, 20-year-old kid.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was what it looked like. And then that junior fall when I kind of made a big jump and, like, established myself a little bit more. And the more scouts started calling, started having, like, the one-on-one meetings. The psych evaluations. Some organizations that have these 175 question tests, I think,
wow.
I honestly think with some of those tests, I think they just wanted to see if you'd actually do it. I don't even know if they graded them personally. Like, who's actually grading this? Like,
yeah.
I just want to see if they did it. It was a cool experience for sure.
So as you're coming into your senior year, did you know, I mean, or were you at that point, were you saying, okay, I'm going to give this professional baseball a shot and I'm going to, if they offer me something, I'm going into the minor leagues?
So for me, I'm a little different. I actually got drafted twice. I got drafted as a junior wow. in 2014. I was a 1,000th overall pick in the 2014 draft.
Okay.
I got drafted in the 33rd round by the Tigers. And I just personally, I thought I was going to go higher. I didn't get the offer from a bonus perspective that I thought I deserved. They offered me a bonus money and plus your last year of school. But what they don't tell you, and what I have to tell my guys now, my current is that's actually taxed. So it's not technically a free ride. It's really more like a 70% scholarship. So I went back and met with my coaching staff, and Coach Holiday ended up saying, okay, we'll give you the full boat. We'll bring you back. You're not going to pay a cent to go here for your senior year. And I was like, done. Like, I get to come out of here. Like, I get to stay in a place I love. I get to be the number one starter. I get to go here for free now. And I'm going to hopefully improve my draft stock. I was like, yeah, that's an easy decision. So I went back for my senior year, did that whole process again, and then I ended up getting drafted in the 27th round by the Brewers after my senior year.
Yeah, no, that's funny that you were looking at the numbers all the way back then.
Yeah.
So it was in the cards there. But, you know, before we get into what you got going on now, talk to us about that first season after getting drafted by the Brewers and what it was like to pitch for a minor league club.
Shell shock is the only way I can describe it. You got to remember, Oklahoma State, we got T. Boone Pickens. He put in about $700 million into the athletic department. So our facilities are just ridiculous there. I mean, we just got a brand new stadium that I didn't play in, but we got a $60 million stadium now. The weight room's immaculate. The food was great. Everything about it's first class. Then you go and sign a professional contract. You go to the minor leagues. And we get to rookie ball, and I'm sitting here looking around like, where am I? Did I get on the wrong plane? It was kind of tricky. The spring training complex for Arizona League was pretty good. Like, not bad. But then I spent 3 weeks there, and then I got promoted to the full season club in low A the 1st of July. But they were playing on the road in Beloit, Wisconsin. So I don't know if much about the worst stadiums in the minor leagues.
Yeah.
But Beloit is always in the top five of that one.
It was that bad.
So here's the worst part. There's no good way to get to Beloit, Wisconsin. And I'm a recently signed 27th round pick just going to fill a rotation spot for the last 2 months of the season. So I had to fly to Chicago. Yep. And I got on a Greyhound bus in Chicago and had to sit on a Greyhound bus for a couple hours to get dropped off at a truck stop right outside of Beloit where the team bus was waiting for me to pick me up and take me to the dump of a stadium.
Wow. What a story.
And so then the funniest part about it is that shower in the visitors clubhouse in Beloit always floods. And unfortunately, I left my shower shoes in my other suitcase and not in my baseball bag. So I'm the new guy in the team. I don't know a single person in this locker room. I have no shower shoes. And the shower is flooding.
Welcome to baseball.
I was like, welcome to professional baseball.
No, that's hilarious. So you went up to low A. And, well, actually, let's talk about just like, you know, meeting the other players. Like, was there anyone that you were like, excited to meet, like somebody that you watched playing and you were just like, wow, we're in the same clubhouse, same organization, anything like that?
Not in I guess the only one was Chris Davis was rehabbing. He was rehabbing from an injury at the time and he was with us. So that was crazy to see a guy who was like an established big leaguer who had hit like 30 homers in the big leagues just sitting across the table from you eating a PB&J. But you know, yeah. Other than that, yeah, that was pretty cool. But then just for me, it was just like, I was so scared. I was like, okay, I'm a new guy here. I don't know anybody. I'm just trying not to piss anybody off on the first day. And I already forgot my shower shoes. Like, so it was pretty nerve wracking, but in the end, you know, baseball guys, pretty friendly bunch. They bring you in quick. You don't really have a choice. You just get thrown in and you just accept it. And those are your new friends for that summer.
And yep. And Jonathan, during this time, obviously you just graduated college, you're low A ball. But at this time, are you starting to like notice players' salaries, their lifestyles, how they live? I mean, do you have these conversations about savings and stuff like that with these guys?
Oh, yeah. I mean, minor league baseball is a big have and have not game, right? Because you got usually three or four guys in every draft. Really, two guys that sign, maybe three for seven figures. Another three or four guys that sign for solid six-figure deals. And then another dozen to 15 that are that 100 to 150 range. And then you got a bunch of dudes that are just broke. Wow. And I just happen to have fallen into the category of dang near broke. But yeah, so it's very apparent, right? I mean, you see it in the parking lot. You got dudes rolling up in 97 Hondas, and you got dudes rolling up in brand new Range Rovers. So you can tell who the first rounders are really right.
And what are the average salaries for a minor league baseball player? You made it to AAA, but what are some of these guys are making?
Yeah, so this is a big thing that we've been working on. I do some stuff with More Than Baseball organization, Jeremy Wolf. So I'm the financial guidance volunteer director for the U.S. So we do stuff like that. But for minor leagues, low A is like $1,160 a month now. It was $1,100 when I got in.
Wow. $1,160.
Yes. Yes.
So for our viewers, the average minor league player is making $1,160 a month.
In low A, yes. In high A, you're like $1,400, $1,500 a month. Double A is like $1,700. Triple A was $2,500 first year.
Wow.
For 5 months out of the year. For 5 months out of the year. You don't get paid in the offseason.
So what do these guys do in the off? So what do these guys do for the rest of the 7 months that they're not playing?
I did a bunch of different stuff. I was a substitute teacher. I was a waiter. I did pitching lessons. I coached a little baseball team. And then eventually I became a financial advisor on the side for the last 2 years of my career.
Yeah.
So you just have to hustle. If you're one of those guys that can live off the bonus, you end up having to hustle. You got to get a second job or even a third job to make ends meet and pay your rents in the off season. And that is what they call the minor league grind.
Wow. Yeah, no. And it's great that you're working on trying to help that side of baseball. And so like with 1170, are they putting you up to live at certain facilities or anything? That's all you're paying rent pretty much out of that.
Yeah, at the lower levels, you'll get some host families that'll either give you a really good discount. They'll charge you like $150 a month, you know, grocery money or whatever. But then you have other families that'll let you stay for free. Once you get to double A, pretty much across the board, double A, triple A, yeah, you're just apartment, rent a house, you're on your own, you got to find something.
Wow.
That's incredible.
That's mind-blowing to hear. You were actually – this is new information for us, for sure. So tell everyone where they could find More Than Baseball and how just a random person could help.
Yeah, so morethanbaseball.org. You can donate. We do a lot of different fundraisers. We're doing a charity poker tournament tomorrow night on Twitch. So there's always ways to donate. Spread the word on social media. Just getting more people aware of this issue and talking about it and just starting to fight for change and try and get this to move up is really the best way to go about it. Jeremy Wolf, Slade Heathcock, Simon Rosenblum Larson. Those are the three directors. You can find them all on social media as well. Get in contact with those guys if you want to donate or get involved. We'd love to. The more help we can get, the better the cause is going to be.
Yeah, and if it's out of sight, it's out of mind. So if people don't know about it, then these are pretty much. I've known a couple people that went into the minors and never were able to make it out. But it's mind blowing to hear that the salaries are. It's an absolute grind. And I'm sure that also brought you into doing a little bit more research in the financial industry and learning how to invest. So talk to us about when that first started, as far as like you trying to study for all the tests that came along with that.
Yeah, my original plan was to go to law school. So first year, got drafted. I was a history major in college. Got drafted, got a small bonus, nothing crazy, but still first chunk of change I'd ever had in my life. It was my money for the first time. You know, it wasn't the school's money, it wasn't my mom's money, it was my money. So, it just sat there in a savings account for a year. My first off season, I was studying for the LSAT, trying to get my applications ready for law school because that was my backup plan. And then after I got all that done, got done with the LSAT, got to spring training 2016, I was like, okay, I got this money sitting here. I need to figure out what the heck I'm going to do with it. I have a college degree, and I took two business courses in college. I took micro and macroeconomics, and that was it. Like, no personal finance. Like, they don't teach you any of this. Like, why is my check say one thing on the face, but I got a different number in my bank account? Nobody told me about this. So I just started hitting the books. I'm a very avid reader. That spring training, I just committed myself. Okay, this year, like, I'm going to get my money in order. I'm going to figure this out, at least have an idea to where if I do go meet with an advisor or try and go get some help, I'm not the dumbest person in the room. I can at least have a coherent conversation with somebody about this. So I just started reading up on it, and it just fell in love. Like, it happened supernaturally. I just found the information super engaging. I'm a numbers guy. I always was obsessed with stats on baseball cards or on my video games. What were the player's stats? So it clicked with me right away. So that whole season, I was just reading, starting to learn. And then that offseason, I opened my own brokerage account. I decided I was going to manage my own money for myself. So I took that money, invested it, and just started working it that whole offseason. I was waiting tables at a restaurant, Zoe's Kitchen, in Overland Park, Kansas. And then I met a guy who would come in, he'd order the same thing every day, go sit down at the table and start reading stock reports. And I asked him one day when I handed him his food, I was like, hey man, can you leave these reports on the table so I can read them when you're done instead of throwing them away every day?
Yeah.
You know, he just looked up at me like I had three heads or something. I was like, yeah, sure. Okay. So sure enough, he leaves his food there, leaves the reports. I bust the table, grab the reports, take them home and read them. Next day he comes in, he's like, right, sit down. Like, I give him his food. He tells me to sit down. I look, kind of look back. I'm like trying to see where my manager's at. I'm like, you serious? He's like, sit down. I was like, I might get fired, man. Said, don't worry about it. I think that's going to be the least of your concerns.
Wow.
And he just starts asking me questions. And so he just asked me what I read. We had a conversation, got yelled at by the manager. and then I asked him, he was like, can we meet for coffee? I'd love to talk more about this. Hadn't told him I played baseball. Had never told him I played baseball or anything like that. His name ended up being Jonathan Fink. He's the president and CEO of Satya Investment Management, RIA, here in Overland Park. Told him I played baseball, was super into investing. And we just started developing that relationship over the next year during my next season in 2017. He became a mentor, would tell me to read certain things, help me learn about the game of investing. But then by that point, I'm the guy in the locker room on my laptop looking at stock charts, reading the Wall Street Journal. So that's weird, right? That's not normal. People don't do that in professional baseball locker rooms. So teammates asked me questions about it. And eventually it got to the point where, well, hey, like, I've got some cash sitting here. Do you think you could help me with it? And the legal answer was no. I didn't have a license. I had no professional training or anything like that. So I got home that offseason and we met up for lunch. He goes, hey, all right, you're starting to get ready. Okay, I'm going to sponsor you, so you can take your Series 65 and get your license, and you'll come work under me, under my umbrella, and you can start taking these people on as clients. So that offseason, I studied for my Series 65. I was in the fall league, living on my buddy Taylor Williams, who made the big league club with the Padres the opening day. I was sleeping on an air mattress in his spare bedroom out in Phoenix, and then studying for the Series 65 during the day. I ended up passing it. I got my license in February 2018, right before spring training. And then the last 2 years of my pro career, I was managing money while I was still playing ball.
That's awesome. And so you say you got it in 2018. And then your teammates did something fun for you one day at the ballpark, right? Talk to us about that.
Yeah, so that was a good memory, man. So my first big league camp in 2018. Like I said, I'm not normal. Like, sitting there on my laptop looking at stuff on the internet and whatnot, and just would do that every morning. So all the vets, they ended up giving me like this 1980s like stockbroker looking desk with like the paperweight and everything, like the newspaper. And I ended up, you know, it was like J. Parent Investment Co. And it was right next to the bathroom. You know, next to all the bathroom stalls. It was a pretty good little prank on a rookie. That was one of my better memories of pro ball for sure.
It's awesome.
Jonathan, and as you're starting to manage money and work for the investment company, in the minor leagues, a lot of these guys are making money, but did you realize these guys don't get any, aside from not making a lot of money, they don't get any financial planning? There's nobody who comes in and says, hey, this is what you can do for your money. Is there anything that they do for these guys other than say you can play, you might have a shot to make the big leagues? Do they do anything for them in terms of helping them manage their money?
Yeah, I mean, one of the first things that kind of opened my mind up to get invested was the second day of pro ball. They bring you into the conference room and they have the 401k seminar. and it's like a 30-minute seminar. Some guy in a suit comes in, says, "You sign up for your 401k plan." You know, and everybody's half asleep. But I happen to be like, oh, wait, this seems like something I should probably pay attention to and take part of. So, yeah, it honestly started out with guys who just had some leftover bonus money. Maybe they had gotten drafted like 3, 4, 5 years down the road, and they hadn't gotten enough money in the draft to really be pursued by financial advisors, but they still had a little bit of money and it just floating around out there, and they just wanted some help with it. And they finally had somebody that was within proximity to them that had any sort of knowledge whatsoever that was willing to help them. So that's how it all started. My first couple clients were teammates with old bonus money laying around. That was it. And we just went from there.
It's amazing to me that you think about major league teams and all these organizations, all this money, but in the minor leagues, they really don't help them out as much. And are you able to help? I mean, with the salaries that they're living, are these guys able to even save, even with 2 or 3 jobs? I mean, are they able to save?
It's tough. I did it, but I'm also super frugal.
You know,
like I was able to scrape together every season. I was like, I'm saving. I'm going to save this amount of money. Like I knew how much I was going to make. I'm a spreadsheet guy. I love Excel. So I have my little, exactly how much I was going to be making. I have my budget all set up, but obviously I'm the exception to the rule. Most guys are not that way. And it does make it extremely difficult to save because one, you're only getting paid 5 months out of the year. And two, you're not really getting paid a whole lot. So it does get tricky, but again, a lot of what I did was, as far as having money to actually invest came from old bonus money laying around. But then just helping guys with budgets, man. Like even just explaining to them, hey, this is how much this costs. Like some people just are not wired that way. Like I realize, like I'm just very numbers oriented. I always was. Like I said, I've always been obsessed with baseball stats. It's one of the reasons why I love the game. And it just made it such a natural transition for me to go into money management and finance. But most people are not wired that way. So just getting people to be able to think, it takes a couple minutes of thought to really help you out over a long period of time.
And there's two types of people out there. It's the people that they get their money and they just want to spend it on the next flashiest thing. They want the new iPhones. They want a better car. They want a PS5 or whatever. And then there's those people that want to put it in the savings. They want to put it, but invest it in smart assets that will end up appreciating over time. So what is like one piece of advice that you would give just a young person that's just starting to make money and how to set themselves up for long-term success? What is your one piece of like flagship advice that you tell everyone?
Get a budget. Set a 10% savings rate. Whatever that savings look like, whether it's a brokerage account, for most people working a normal job, it's the 401k, just getting that company match. That's the number one place we go to for savings for any client. The first thing I say is, are you contributing to a retirement plan? If not, are you eligible? And if you're eligible, let's get into it. And then from there, it's just all about managing your expenses. If you can figure out how much is coming in and how much is going out on a month-to-month basis and get that balanced out, that's going to take care of 90% of your problems. That's the blocking and tackling of financial literacy and financial education. It's just getting that cash flow and that budget locked in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's great advice. And if anyone has a couple extra spare change lying around, you know, there's down at the bottom right there playing the field. We're going to looking for some people that want to invest for anyone that is interested. It's sports fan dating app and community. So we're looking to help all of you out. And Jonathan, if you know anyone, I know those minor leaguers, they don't make that much, but anyone has any bonus money and they're looking to invest, you can put my name in the fold.
Okay. I think we might be able to pull some strings.
Awesome. Jonathan, you know what I wanted to ask you with the minor leagues now being condensed, right? A lot of team, Major League Baseball is condensing all those teams. How is that going to affect the players down there in terms of salary? Is that going to be better for the players in terms of salary? Is it going to be worse? Like how's the situation going to change down there?
Yeah. So this year salaries are expected to go up from what I'm hearing, it sounds about like 40 to 50% increase.
Okay.
It was significant, but when you're starting off such a low base, you got to keep the real numbers in perspective. You get a 50% increase on $1,100 a month, you're still at $1,600. So
right.
We're still, take what you get, but. And they got to remember, it's also net neutral, right? MLB is not going to do anything that's going to cost them extra money. So they eliminated 42 teams. So you eliminate 30% of the minor leagues, and then you raise salaries by 50%. That's pretty much a wash. So they're trying to win the PR battle by saying, oh, minor league salaries are going up. But you got rid of a quarter of them. Let's just make sure we call it like it is.
And for our viewers who want to find more than baseball, your organization, I think we touched on it earlier, but tell us about the organization. How can our viewers find it?
Yeah, at MTB_org on social media, morethanbaseball.org is the website. You can reach out to myself, Jeremy Wolf, Slade Heathcott, Simon Rosenblum Larson on LinkedIn. We're also on Twitter, Instagram. You can reach out to us directly or through the website. If you want to talk, show support, however you want to do it. We'd be more than happy to help.
Final question for me. Toughest player you had to face in your career?
Ronald Acuña. That dude is unbelievable. Oh, my goodness. So I knew that dude was going to be special. So he was 18 years old at the time. He had just gotten a double A after spending the month of April in high A where he hit 480. And he had been in double A for 2 weeks, and he comes in and he was hitting like 513 or something like that.
This is
double A, and he's been there for 2 weeks. And we play 5-game sets in the Southern League down there. So he's playing for Mississippi Braves. I was playing for Biloxi with the Brewers at the time. And he comes in 5 games, goes like 10 for 21 with 2 homers, 2 doubles, 8 RBIs, and his batting average went down.
What? After hitting 500.
Yes, his batting average went down. I was just like, this guy's the greatest player ever. Like, we couldn't get him out. And the pitching coach at that point was just like, just hit him. I don't even know. Let's just call that. You know, maybe. It was unbelievable. He was incredible. I mean, he was 18 years old, and he was already the best player on the field. So it was really cool to watch just like a super special generational talent play like that. And then the other one for me that stands out in my mind was in winter ball. I was playing in the Dominican in 2018, and Fernando Tatis Jr. He was coming off the disabled list. So I think he had broken his hand or something like that during the summer. And this was his first game back off injury. So one of my teammates on my winter ball team was with the Padres at the time, and he saw the scouting director there. The GM was all there. Like, the whole brass from the Padres is at this game in the Dominican Republic. Sellout crowd. It's everybody's there, like, super popping. Tatis is batting leadoff. And so they're playing like a 3-minute highlight video, his minor league highlights from the season before, while the opposing pitcher is throwing his warm-up pitches. So he steps up to the plate, steps in a box, crowd's going crazy. First pitch, boom, 450-foot homer to right side. And the whole place just goes crazy. It was amazing.
Wow.
Wow. No.
Those are incredible stories, man.
And they were both 18. Both still.
Yeah.
Both those guys are 18 years old when they did that.
So you could tell who's going to be special. Like, you knew, right? Like, when
– with those guys, I would assume that's probably what it was like playing against Trout in the minor leagues at some point. They're not there for long for a reason.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. No, and that's the truth. Yeah. They just pretty much skyrocket. So actually, one quick question. So say you're in AAA, AA, and you're getting this monthly salary, but there's an injury and somebody has to get called up. Like, how does that work into your salary? If you're playing for a week or so on a major league club.
Yeah, so this is where it gets super complex into the nitty-gritty of baseball contracts and how the rosters work with a 40-man roster and not on the 40-man roster. So if you're not on the 40-man roster and you get your major league call-up, they have to designate someone for assignment from the 40-man roster or put someone on the 60-day DL for you to be on the roster to be able to go to the big leagues.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get sit down, there's 2 ways that can happen. You can either just get optioned, okay, where everybody gets 3 options. So you can go up and down for 3 years in the minor leagues. Okay, so you can go up and down between the big leagues and the minor leagues. for three different seasons, and you can use up your options. Or if you're out of options, or if they just want to cut you, you get DFA'd, where they just designate you for assignment. You're no longer on the 40-man, and they try to outright you to AAA. But at that point, you go on waivers for a week. Any team can claim you, excuse me, yeah. But they have to put you on their 40-man roster. So that's the short version of that, but it gets pretty complex. But if you were to make your debut, you go from making $2,500 a month to $3,500 a day, like that.
Wow. Wow.
That's incredible.
That is such a change right there. I mean, yeah. You're making your whole year's salary, and if you play 3 days.
Yep. You make in a week what you make in a year.
Unbelievable. That's crazy.
You know what? I did, like, Lindor just signed a 10-year, $340 million contract, right? But, and this is a final one for me and Mike, then you can go ahead. But how many guys, I mean, there are a lot of guys making money, but what is the percentage of guys who really don't have money, right? Who they have a career that maybe they play 10 seasons, but are a lot of guys leaving the game and they have no money?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of thousandaires in Major League Baseball, okay? There's the guys at the very top, but there are way more guys, if you look at the roster splits, making Major League minimum or making less than seven figures. But on the backside of that, yeah, like even guys that have the multi-year, multi-million dollar contracts, like you still have to manage your lifestyle. You still have to rein in the expenses, because if you accumulate a lot of things, take money to service, and once the money stops, once you're done playing, if you still have all these bills and notes and whatever debts that you might have to be paying,
yeah,
that's where guys get into trouble. So we always talk about, it always comes back to managing the cash flow, managing the debt flow, making sure that we have an appropriate amount of savings to get us one through the off season. And then two, we set aside money for that forever bucket that we just aren't going to touch until later on.
Got it.
Yeah. Well, since you're over there in Kansas City, are you going to try and talk to Patrick Mahomes and tell him where to invest his money?
Hey, if I run into Patrick, I might just ask him who he's going to have playing left tackle first for him. That's my biggest concern right now. I want to keep him upright.
That's right.
So I can go win another Super Bowl.
What's your prediction for this baseball season and football for that matter? You know, what do you got?
Baseball, man. I got the Dodgers. I mean, that team is so good. Like, it's unbelievable. But the AL is kind of open, man. The White Sox really making a push. I mean, they probably got the most talent on their roster. Of course, the Yankees have to get healthy. If the Yankees can get healthy, they're going to be dangerous. I mean, anytime you have a guy named Garrett Cole at the top of your rotation, you're in pretty good shape. That's not somebody I want to run into in a one-game wild card.
No.
Exactly.
They're really good. And then on the NL side, hey, my Brewers, man. You get to the eighth inning, you lose against the Brewers, because Hader and Devin Williams, they don't give – I always joke that they should count a hit as a run off those guys. I mean, did you see what they did in the last exhibition game? They faced six guys and they all punched out.
it's incredible.
Those guys are disgusting. That's who I got. And then Cy Young Award, I think I'm going to go Giolito in the AL, and then we'll go Bauer in the NL. I think he's going to do it.
Wow.
I'm pulling for him.
Wow.
He's been making so much noise this offseason. I just hope he backs it up.
He makes noise. I'll give you that. He definitely makes noise. Wow. That's bold. I mean, you're a pitcher, and you're talking about a pitcher, so I guess you know what you're looking at. But that's
what he's about. I think he's all about empowering players and giving players a platform and talking a little crap to Manfred, which I like him being the thorn in the side of the commissioner's office. They need a little bit more of that over there.
I agree. It's like a Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Vince McMahon type of thing.
Exactly. Got to have a little controversy. Is good for the sport. What's wrong with that?
We've been saying that
baseball. I mean, this is the 71st episode. Like, we've been saying this like the whole time. Baseball needs that like Stone Cold type of personality to like really spearhead this social media movement and just make it more popular for the younger generation, because they're nowhere to be found. Half of the baseball players, you try and search them on Instagram and they're not even there.
Yeah, so for me, it's the saddest part about it is Mike Trout's first pitch is not for another 10 minutes. He still hasn't, they still haven't even started the game yet. You know what I mean? Like the best player in the league, nobody sees him because he plays on the West Coast. So it's tough. And it stinks that he's on the West Coast again now. So you're not going to see a whole lot of Bauer starts in prime time. But at the same time, what all the stuff he's doing on social media, I think baseball needs more of that. Like football's got Juju, they got Mahomes, and basketball's been doing it for years. LeBron's the best in the world, not only at basketball, but at the social media and the media presence. So baseball's just been slow to get to that game. So I like some of the stuff they're doing. I love the in-game interviews, the outfielders and things like that. I hope that type of stuff, make it more intimate. Just make it more intimate for the fans. Let them interact with the players more. It's good for the sport to help grow the game.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we've taken up a lot of your time, but
thank you, Jonathan. We appreciate it.
Completely appreciate you coming on. We had a blast and our eyes are open to things that we just didn't see before. So thank you for that. Morethanbaseball.org, everybody, go check it out and try to help out. Jonathan, thanks again. And you're always welcome on the show anytime.
Yeah, absolutely. Guys, appreciate you having me. Let's do it again soon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
All-star break.
Yes. Mid-season checkup. I like
that. There we go.
Yeah. That works. That works for me. All right. Take it easy.
All right, guys. Jonathan. Take care.
Have a good night.
Man, that was a great interview. $1,100, dude? $1,100, a month?
$1,100, $1,700, and $2,500.
That's crazy. That is
for only 5 months.
Well, you have to really love baseball to do that, man. I'm sorry. I can love baseball for $1,100. You got to survive, man. You got to live.
Yeah. No, of course. But yeah, I mean, really with anything though, you have to love what you're doing.
Yeah. I mean, to not make money. Yeah, exactly.
But that's crazy. You get called up and
go from making $2,500 a month to $3,500 a day, man. That's great.
Oh, man. That's great. And I mean, that's when you can get all wide eyed and be like, okay.
This is a different lifestyle.
Well, let me just play for 15 days until this other guy gets back and then I'm going to buy a new car.
Yeah. Well, listen, man, if he's on the IL for, it's a 10 day and you're on there for 10 days, that's 35 racks, man. You're gooch, as we say.
Yeah, man. I mean, especially when you're used to making. And if you've been budgeting this whole time and trying to live off of the other stuff, and then all of a sudden your salary jumps up.
I mean,
like
shit.
12%, 12 times. Yeah. That's quite a pretty penny. Obviously, you don't want to wish anyone to get hurt.
No, we don't want that.
No, of course. Louise, you know. No, but they should pay these guys.
Yeah, they should pay these guys.
No, anyway. we need to take a look at morebaseball.org. We need to help out. Yeah. You can try to figure out something as well.
Get some news and notes over here real quick.
Yeah, what do we got?
Let's see. Just watching a little baseball.
Both of his teams won, by the way. Brewers and the Royals won.
Mm-hmm.
Padres, 8-7 win.
Yep. I was watching some of those highlights.
Dodgers lost.
Yeah, apparently there was a blunder.
So the Yankees and Dodgers both lost.
Blow both of those teams up.
They're the favorites.
Start trading people. Fire the managers.
Bauer didn't pitch today, right? No, that would have been what's his face today, right? Kershaw.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Bauer probably pitches tomorrow, I would imagine, right?
Yeah.
Or Saturday, rather. And I don't know when the Mets are going to play, man. I think they might call this whole series.
Couple days. They'll eventually have to play. They gotta get a team and start playing. So
maybe Sunday a doubleheader. I don't think they're gonna play on Saturday.
No, I don't think they're doing a doubleheader right away. It's I don't think baseball wants to do that at all. But we'll see, man.
Nobody wants to do it.
No, of course not. Yeah. Let's see. Meanwhile, I think the Brooklyn Nets won by 30 points.
Yeah, so, new Space Jam posters came out. I think we
posted that. Saw that.
I didn't watch any baseball movies. I was thinking about watching one last night, but I did not.
No, but eventually,
get myself ready.
Major League will be viewed during the season.
Yes. Yeah. I concur with that. Tomorrow, there are a couple games tomorrow.
Yeah.
Orioles, Red Sox, Battle of Florida, Rays, Marlins.
Oh, we have a quick note here. Roy Williams, head coach of the North Carolina College men's basketball team, has decided to retire after 33 years. He feels he is no longer the right man and has decided to hang him up.
Well, speaking of hanging him up, we'll talk about the other side of things and picking him back up. Oscar De La Hoya wants to fight Mayweather.
Oh, jeez. I mean, when you're retired and you have a couple hundred million dollars.
What's up with the reboots? Like, it's just like Reboot Central, Ivan, on TV shows rebooting, movies rebooting, and now you have all these people coming out of retirement.
I honestly think, man, it's these guys are pretty young. De La Hoya is like 47. And I honestly think, even though they have these companies like Golden Boy and their promoters, that one, they still have that itch, but two, I don't think they have anything to do, man. They're like, that's what they know. They don't have anything to do.
Yeah.
It's not like they work 9 to 5. Bored. They're bored, and they're like, I'm going to get back into this.
I mean, let's be real. Brett Favre did it a couple times because he was bored.
That's what it is. They're bored, man. And they still think that they can – they're trying to get that high again of being in front of a crowd. And it's over. Dude, you hung them up. And you're healthy. And like, you have money. You can go on a private plane, get up late. I mean, you're chilling. What's the point, man? What is the point? But, you know,
there's
look.
There's something. There's that one thing missing.
Hand to the ribs. You
need the just, like you said, the high, obviously. Yeah, I get it.
And then get an uppercut, and then you're an invalid. Like, he doesn't need that. I just don't get it. But I guess when you become irrelevant, like, that's what you try to do. I don't agree with it, but hey, good, whatever. I mean, just don't get hurt. Don't go out there and get killed or something like that.
I mean, you got YouTube stars wanting to fight boxers. I mean, Oscar De La Hoya has probably got a little bit more skills than the YouTube fighters. Yeah. It is what it is. I'd mention it because I saw it in the news. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, good luck to you, Oscar.
We are in news.
Yeah.
We are a news station, so.
Absolutely. But
we have. It was a great. Have anything else?
Obviously the draft is a few weeks away. We're looking, getting close to that. But no, this was a good show. Ending the week on a high note with a little baseball and looking forward to next week.
Yeah, absolutely. Got a great lineup again next week. And hopefully the Mets play a game by the time we're back on Tuesday. Now they will. I think they'll play at least one game on Sunday.
Yeah, I think they'll play a game.
Possibly Saturday. Well, we shall see, but I'm excited to have Mets baseball start, and then the Yankees can right the ship on Saturday, and let's go. Baseball season, full swing, everybody. But
enjoy the games.
Enjoy the first weekend of baseball. For those of you going to games, enjoy it. Because it's been a while since we've been able to head over to the games. Just don't go to Arlington.
Yeah.
That a favor.
For those of you celebrating Easter this weekend, happy Easter.
Yes, happy Easter for those celebrating Easter.
Yes.
Have a wonderful night and a wonderful weekend, everybody. And we will see you on Tuesday night.
There we go. Peace.
Good night.